Just yesterday morning, we had an elders board meeting, and we were talking about, you know, almost 10 minutes talking about how great it was Friday night, TYF, reaching out to the community, barbecue, even though it was 30 degrees, and I don't know how you did it, but seems to be a lot of people coming to enjoy the time, and it was just wonderful, because for elders who are elderly, like us, you know, seeing so many young people heading up this kind of, you know, outreach, we are thinking, oh man, this is our future leaders of this church. And just like Neon said, you know, this church building, when we move here, is not just the end of the journey. It's the beginning of the journey, because remember what I said, this is new building, but this is not a new auto dealer. We are not showing off, but we are here to make more disciples of Jesus, just like an auto plant. It's a starting new, but this is our job, to be seeing more fully devoted follower of Jesus. So this is the beginning, and I hope that we can continue to do that as a church. Let's look at Romans chapter 5. It's a very difficult passage. Many of you, when you come to this passage, chapter 5, verses 12 to 21, reading it, when you, in your heart, you may say, what? You know, until you reach chapter 6. Okay, oh, okay, now I get that. But this passage, it just confuses a lot of people. And it's very difficult to understand. Sometimes you even ask why Paul spend so many, you know, words talking about this. And it's just very difficult, and sometimes it looks like, oh, I get that, but at the same time, why he spent so many verses talking about something seems to be non-important, or, well, kind of understood right away, but why all these things? So when you're reading this as a, you know, your devotion or reading it, you might just say, can I skip this? Go to chapter 6 right away. But I just want you to understand that this is a very important passage, and Paul has a special meaning for this passage for us to understand. So let's go back to, I should point that direction. Okay, the color has changed. It's okay. And if you look at it, we just do the recap for the last few months. In chapter 1 to 3, we talk about Gentiles are all under sin, and then introducing justification by faith, chapter 3, and then chapter 4, Abraham mainly, to show that justified by faith is already before the law, and then chapter 5, presenting the blessings of justification the last time. And today we're going to talk about last one, arguing for how justification by faith alone be possible. And I think this is one of the reasons why Paul write this passage. So please, if you have a Bible, iPhone, I'm sorry, whatever phone you have. I don't have iPhone, so I'm not particularly trying to tell you what to buy. Just open your phone and just look at it, and this is a very important passage. As I said, when we come to chapter 5, verse 11, a lot of people expect Paul will continue to chapter 6, but somehow he stopped right here, and then he gave us this so-called important passage. And if you look at verse 12, and you will see that it's an interesting start, because he said, therefore, just as. These little three words try to connect the previous chapters. So Paul was talking about something, and then all of a sudden he comes here and he stopped, not going to chapter 6 right away, and he said, therefore, just as. You see, when he says just as, that means there's something similar to what he said in the previous chapters, or even just the previous passage in chapter 5. But there's something that, of course, will be different, because later on he will say Adam is a type to come. So therefore, just as. So he tried to explain, actually, what scholars believe, maybe the first few chapters, 1 to 5, up to this point. Or he just tried to explain, give us a further information to understand the chapter 5. So, okay, let's go to this passage together today. And I hope you have enough energy to, you know, to go with this passage with me, because this passage definitely will put some of you to, you know, take a nap. So when I see enough numbers to take a nap, then I will just stop and, you know, done. So let's come to this. It's very important, but it's very, very hard to understand. Sometimes it's even boring, but it's very important. So let's go through this together. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, the death through sin, and in this way death came to all men. And because all sin. So in chapter 5, verse 12, Paul seems to try to bring us some comparison and try to use an example to for us to understand what he's talking about. So if you look at chapter 5, as I said before, right here, is the presenting the blessing of the justification. Some people, when they are reading this book or this letter, come to this point, they will say, what in the world? One man can do so much for humanity. All you need to do is just believe in this person called Jesus, and then you will be justified, and you will be saved, and then you have an eternal life. All these things. And then people will say, how does it work? So he just wants to say, okay, let's stop. We talk about the blessing and the importance of justification. Let's stop here and try to use and somebody very important in history to show that it is possible. It is possible that we can believe in one person for what he did in history, dying on the cross, and it will affect everybody. So this is that's the place that he started with this argument. Enter the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all men. So in one little sentence, he actually presented a very important concept. Something more? Oh, yeah. So maybe this is not working. Anyway, if you look at this, you will see that is a human condition. Paul was talking about how death came to all men. Through Adam. In Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin entered the world. And as a result, everybody died. So everybody died because, well, in verse 12, he says, because all sin. Now, we have to look at this in two levels. Every time, I said it before, when you look at the word sin, there's a two level of concept. One is a state, a authority, a power, something, a domain controlling. And then we talk about sin as an individual person, like you and me, did something to disobey God. So there's a two level. One is outside of us, it's a domain controlling. And then what we did or what we do, showing to God that we disobey him. So if you look at this in verse 12, he talks about actually two, the state, you know, how sin entered the world and then he controlled humanity. And as a result, everybody died. And of course, are we doing our part like what Paul said? We all have sinned. We have to understand this a little bit better. As I said, chapter 5, this passage, people say that this is not logically should be in this passage. But of course, we all believe deep down in our hearts, this is very important for us to understand the concept. So in chapter 5, verse 12, Paul lay out right away the situation that we are in. Let's look at cause and effect. You know, Chinese, there's another idea, something similar, cause and effect. So if you look at the effect of, you know, all these things happening, Paul said that we all die. We all die. So there must be reason for all of us die. Physically, of course, it's not more than just one level. He talks about not just physical death, he's all talking about spiritual death, eternal death. So we all die, showing that there must be a cause to affecting each one of us. So he was continued to carry out this concept or this argument, verses 13 and 14. So if you look at this, it's a very important for us to understand the meaning. We all have sinned. I will come back to this in verse 14. But let's continue to read verse 13. I think it's very important, verse 13. For before the law was given, sin was in the world, but sin is not taken into account when there's no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even over those who did not sin by breaking a command, as did Adam, who was a pattern of the one to come. Let's look at verse 13 first. Before the law was given, sin was in the world. I want to use this illustration to help you to understand verse 13, because it's a little bit hard to understand verse 13. How many of you have been in White Avenue, 82nd Avenue? When I was a young man, you know, I hang out there from time to time, many years ago. So 82nd Avenue, you know that it is a very, you know, energetic area, a lot of young people, traffic, because there are a lot of shops, good food. Well, this all depends how you look at it. But anyway, there's a lot of restaurants. So the traffic is always, you know, back up, a lot of traffic, a lot of people walking, all these things. So just imagine, one day you're walking on White Avenue, 82nd, maybe by yourself or with your girlfriend or boyfriend, doesn't matter. So you are walking, and all of a sudden, you hear a noise coming. Somebody is driving 180 kilometers, driving through White Avenue. Just imagine, there's no speed limit on White Avenue. There's no sign. There's no sign saying 60. So you're walking, and then you see a car, vroom, 180. And then what do you expect? The result? Crash. Somebody died. Maybe you or me or I don't know. But you crash. So you said, wow, this guy's driving like crazy. He's going too fast. And the result, he crashed and he died. Another scenario. You're walking on White Avenue, and then there's a sign 60, speed limit, right? And then you're walking, you see that guy driving 180 kilometers. And then less than a second, you just crash, and he died. The result is the same. The only difference, this time you say, he is what? Speeding. The first situation you said, because there's no speed limit, you said he's going too fast. It's not logical. Going too fast, the result is he's going to die. The second time, same speed, but this time you said he is speeding. The same result, he died. So this might help you to understand verse 13. The law, as you read verses 19, 20, 21, you will see that the law create increased transgressions. It's just to let us see that we are so helpless. Transgression meaning that Adam have sinned. That sin is unique because before the law came, Paul said that sin was already in the world. How do we know that? Because everybody died. But we did not commit Adam did. Adam, what did Adam do? Knowingly breaking the word of God. In Genesis chapter 3, you know, God told them, you know, you cannot eat this tree of the knowledge of life and death. Good and evil. Almost forgot. Good and evil. And then in chapter 2, in chapter 3, they broke that. Knowingly break the command of God. And in Scripture, this kind of sin caused transgression. You might not see it in your Bible. They don't show up every single time. But when you are reading NIV today, you will see that transgressions, meaning that we knowingly breaking the law. And this is a very serious problem that we have the reason is because if you look at the Old Testament, the book of Numbers, you will see that there's no provision. Remember that. There's no provision for someone who knowingly breaking the law. If you are not knowingly breaking the law, accidentally, for example, you go to kill somebody, first degree murder, you know, premeditate. You go to plan the whole thing, kill somebody. But in another situation, in the accident, you kill somebody. In that case, you can go to, you know, do a sacrificial system. Go through the system, it would be a provision for you to be forgiven. But for those who break the law intentionally, knowingly, there's no provision. And you will see that how serious that sin was to God. So even though, that's why Paul said that even though it's not counted as a sin, you have to understand that sin is still here. We're still breaking the law as, well, not breaking the law, but we still disobey God. I want to give you an example, and it might help you to understand a little bit better what it means. And how many of you have a fishbowl at home? When you're younger, fishbowl? Did I say it right? You gone, right? You know, when I was young, in my home, we have two big ones. You know, we have a lot of fish. And so when they are sick, we put some medication into it, like red color, blue color, all kinds of colors. You know. Just imagine these illustrations. No, I'm not sure this will completely help you, but I hope this will help you a little bit. So there's a fishbowl. The water is clean. Beautiful, fresh water. So there's two fish, go right into it. You know who they are? They are Joanna and Stan. their name is Adam and Eve. So they were in there, you know, so happy, so beautiful. It's clean, the water is just fresh. And through the glass, they can see, you know, the guy who give them this fishbowl and give them a wonderful place that you know, you look at me and say, hi, how are you? We can talk, we can see each other, wonderful time. And then someday, there's a bad guy coming and just tell the fish to sin against God. And the sin comes in like a drop of poison. It's deep red color, for example. So it just dropped because the fish disobeyed God. So the drop of water, that poison goes into the water. And the water turned what? Red. Really dark red. So these two fish, and they started to make some more fishes, more fish. So all these fish born after, they have no idea what the clean, fresh water looks like. When they were born, they were born into this really dark, red, poisoned water. And this water actually is killing them. It would give them cancer or something. So they were born like that, in that situation. The power of sin is a domain. And then all these fish born after, in these situations, they also could not see their owner. And they just do whatever they want in that boat, fish boat. And someday, you know, someone came, our Lord Jesus, and gave us the opportunity to live a different life. And I'm going to talk about that later. Do you get that? Does it help? I hope so, because I've been thinking about this for years. Seriously. When I was doing Bible study in the book of Romans, you know, many, many years ago, I was thinking, how could I explain something to others, can get that idea, you know? How could we live in a domain of sin, all this? So I was thinking about all these illustrations, and one of these is the fishbowl. You were born in that. You had no idea how a fresh water looks like. You had no idea how your owner looks like. And you had no idea what he wanted from you. And you just do your own thing. We call it follow our flesh, doing whatever things that sin against God. And we are in that situation. And we are helpless, hopeless, just like the scripture described. Okay, let's continue. In this kind of situation, I think God has come, for some reason, it just happened the whole day this morning too, so don't blame David. Okay? So let's continue to read this passage. Chapter verse 13, you will see that 14, nevertheless, death reigned from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, even all those who did not sin by breaking a command. So did Adam, and was a pattern of the one to come. So Paul was ready to make a comparison, a contrast. When we say a pattern in the scriptures, actually it means there's something similar, but there's a huge contrast too at the same time. So Paul was talking about Adam first, laying out our conditions. We were in the fishbowl, living in a poisonous water. It just could not see our owners, no connection anymore, and we just love to live there because this is the life we knew. And we are just in that until Jesus comes. Because he, the owner of this fish bowl and all this fish, he does not want us to die at the end. So he wants to rescue us. So in Christ, justification, life for all men. Adam, sin entered the world, death came to all men. So we have a proof sin has conquered the whole world because everybody died. To that, we have no say. We are under the domain, we are under the destructive domain of Satan, death and sin. And this is a situation that we are in. In verse 15, if you continue to read verse 15, you will see that we are also continue to be in trouble. That we have sinned against God, we already dead, the scripture using the past tense saying that we already died, D-I-E-D, we already died spiritually. So it's not just you were born and then you die later. What Paul is talking about, he's thinking about another world, another dimension, our spiritual dimensions. Everybody already died spiritually. That's why we were incapable of connecting to God again. And that is our conditions, our situations. So when you talk to a lot of time, when you talk to non-believers, they have a difficulties to understand, to grasp the idea. And they have a difficulties to believe what you believe in. And they have a difficulties to accept Jesus because it just doesn't make sense to them. They are still under the domain of Satan, the power of death and sin. We have to do something. God has to do something. And then as his followers, we need to do something too. So if you look at this, continue to see that we are in big trouble. We are in big trouble. But some of you, you know, Paul already anticipate, you know, when he talks about this, we are under Adam, and sounds like it's not fair because I did not commit the sin he did. I did not eat that whatever fruit. Well, you keep insisting it's an apple. I cannot force you to change that. But anyway, it's a fruit, okay? Maybe you hate apple. That's the reason. The Bible never said it's an apple, okay? So it's a fruit. And you said that, I never commit that. Now why am I in these situations? And then Paul is trying to explain, this is not just being fair or not fair. We are in this condition. But thank God, because we are in Adam. At the same time, that means we still have a possibility to be away and under the new head, our Lord Jesus Christ. So if you look at these situations, you will see that humanity is right here. In Adam, each one of us, we live under this domain of destructive power of sin and death. And then even though you may not have sinned just like Adam, but as a result we are living in this domain, we also commit sin ourselves. But it's a result of living in this domain under Adam. So many were made sinners. And because of that, we are in big trouble. We could not cross here. Just like in the fishbowl, we had no idea how to rescue ourselves. We were incapable. We had no desire because this is our comfort zone. We live there. Even though we are hopeless, we are in pain, but we had no idea what was the alternative looks like until Jesus intervened. He incarnated and he came to this world. He went into the bowl, fish bowl, and then he rescued each one of us. Instead of looking horizontally through the glass, let me continue to use this illustration. Let's push it a little bit further. I just came up with this the following when I was sitting there. So if it doesn't work too well, forgive me, you know, let me go home and fine-tune, okay? So in the past, I would just stop there. But when I was sitting there, you know, I was thinking how I can go further. So in the past, you look horizontally through the glass, through this thick, poisonous water, red, deep red, and you couldn't see your owner. But when Jesus came, instead of looking horizontally, he said, look up. This is how he helped us, and give us a new beginning. Instead of looking horizontally, there was no hope, there was no future, there was no connection with our Creator, our owner. Jesus came and said, instead of looking horizontally, why don't you look up? Through him, looking up, we can see God again. Through him, in him, we don't have to see through the dark, red, poisonous water. In him, we can look up and see our Creator again. How was it? Oh, thank you for. I'm going to go home and fine-tune a little bit more and make sure we get it. Okay, so this is the situation. So at the end of the chapters, Paul's starting to talk about, not the end actually, later on he was talking about the grace of God. And he's starting to introduce this idea. Even though we are hopeless, we deserve nothing. Because don't forget, we are in a sinful conditions. We are in the domain of sin. And God does not like us. He treats us and sees us as his enemy. The wrath of God is ready to pour on us. But the grace, all because of grace, we have a channel, we have an opportunity, not just staying here, but past this line, and we can come back to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the through faith in Jesus, many will be made righteous. We have to understand that you cannot just read chapter 5 and say, okay, but sounds like Paul talking about everybody's under Adam, is under sin. Now everybody under Jesus Christ, in Christ, we are all made righteous. You have to understand that it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody, right now, even you are non-Christians, you are called righteous. Because you have to read chapter 3 and chapter 4 and chapter 5, then you know that he was talking about justification, faith in God, and the righteousness of God is available to everybody. That's the key. It's available to everybody, but it's only effective to those who accept Jesus. You see the difference? So it's not universal salvation. Paul is not talking about that in this passage. He was talking about available. This salvation is available to everybody who accepts Jesus, who comes into contact with our Lord Jesus Christ and put our faith in him so that we will be able to connect to God again, look up instead of looking horizontal. And I think it's a huge difference. Our worldview has changed because this new relationship that we have in with God. So if you look at this, chapter 5, almost the end, and Paul was talking about grace, and grace is greater, go further into our lives. So what is the illustration I can use to get you to understand this? Okay, for example, somebody, let me owe you $10,000. I owe you $10,000. So someone comes along, you know, my wife Joanna said, oh, I need to help you because I'm gracious. Okay, so how much do you owe Pastor Henry? $10,000, you know. It's not real, okay? So, and my wife said, you don't deserve it because you screw up, you know, your finance. So now you owe somebody $10,000. But I'm a good person, you know, I'm a gracious person. Okay, let me give you how much? $10,000? But I'm such a poor guy. I'm a homeless guy. I owe $10,000 because I have nothing. So if you are gracious, you will not just give me $10,000, right? Because $10,000 just get me out of the debt, but I'm still in trouble. So grace is always bigger, go further than our debt. You need to remember that. Otherwise, we are still kind of in trouble. I pay off my debt, but I still have nothing. Then I would go back to my debt again. I mean, I borrow money again. I mean, debt again. Repeat and repeat and repeat. So grace is always bigger, louder, go further than what we owe God or owe whoever. You need to get that. Just like the elevator I used a few months ago, the old elevators, there's no electricity, no motor. You know, for you to get from the ground floor to fifth floor or sixth floor, whatever, you need to have the counterweight. The counterweight has to be heavier than the elevator, including you inside. So Paul is talking about the grace of God is always greater than what we need, brothers and sisters. Now it's coming to the end of my sermon. I really want you to see that. God's grace is always sufficient, more than what we need. Because when you pray, when you see testimony, when you listen to testimonies, when you see how God works in people's lives, you will hear people saying that, you know, what God did was more than I asked for. Because this is who God is. He's a gracious God. He will always look after our needs far more than what we need. Because we cannot just settle debt. We are still in a bad situation. If the counterweight is not greater, we will be just standing in the elevator, continue to hope we'll go up to meet God. And we are still on the same floor. If the counterweight is just like what be the weight of myself and the elevator. You know what I'm saying now? You get a picture? And this is wonderful gospel. And as we read this passage together, we will see that. Let's come back to verse 12. Because the last point I want you to remember, not only the grace of God, is far greater, bigger, go further than what we need. In verse 12, you see, Paul was talking about, I mentioned to you that he was talking about two levels of sin. One is the domain, the power, the control. The other one is our own behavior. Now, my argument or my logical conclusion I want to draw your attention is, once we live in this domain, our life should reflect the grace of God. If we live under the domain of sin before, and our behavior follow sinning against God, the logic is now we are in the new humanity. We are under Jesus. We are justified by faith. My logical next step is asking you, does your life reflect that? Do we live a life that worthy of the grace? Do we live a life that, you know, we actually can be called a righteous person? And I want to leave this to you. Jesus saved us from all these seems to be hopeless conclusion, which is eternal death. He moved us from this death, no end, bad situation to a new beginning, new possibility, new life. But my question to you, to myself, is do we live out that every day? Or we still live like here? We still live allowing the sin controlling us. Let's bow our head. Our Father in heaven, we will give you thanks for salvation, the wonderful gospel, the power of the gospel. You save whoever who wants to believe. It is available to all mankind. In Christ, we have this wonderful salvation. Now we need to make a decision. Every day, for many of us, we have made a decision that we will follow Jesus. But Lord, we ask you to continue to encourage us. Every day, we will live out this justified, righteous life to glorify your name. Pray that as we come today, Communion Sunday, to remember what Jesus has done on the cross. Once again, Father, we just want to ask you to speak to our hearts. May our lives reflect this wonderful, powerful, the grace of God in our lives. The grace of God is always greater, bigger, go further than our sins. Lord, we thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.